Welcome to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. We examine things like the minds of entrepreneurs, emerging trends, financing, marketing, unique ideas, big business moves that could affect small businesses, even how to get started on your own. Today's story is the housing trend your small business might see opportunities in, the risks if you're trying to be a new entrepreneur in Cuba, and the new twist on a green Christmas. We'll start with this. There's a growing movement in favor of tiny houses and what are called micro apartments. What can your small business possibly do to take advantage of this trend? These homes are sometimes seen as a young person's trend, mostly for budget or environmental reasons. But MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill says more and more people near retirement age are leaning toward extreme downsizing as well. Katie, what's up here?
Here's the areas of the country where they tend to be older and younger people. Pacific Northwest, Colorado, and the Carolinas. One woman, she's 66, by the way, she lives in a 147-square-foot apartment by choice. That's where she's retiring.
Wow.
She's in Seattle. She's in what's called a micro-apartment in Seattle. But she sold all her stuff. She even had to give away her dog. She did everything, and then she just moved right into the city center and now lives in basically the size of my bedroom apartment.
How about that? And she's comfortable with that kind of downgrade?
So she said there's trade-offs, right? I mean, you have to do the dishes all the time or they pile up. There's only one sink in her apartment.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, she had to get rid of a lot of clothes. And she has a rule, which is funny. A lot of the people who are retired in these tiny homes told me it's the one-in, one-out rule. So if you buy one thing, you got to get rid of another because there's no space in there for that. So you got to be the kind of person that can handle that.
All right, so typically, are you buying one that already exists, or is this so popular that you have to build one from scratch?
Yeah, if you're a tiny house, especially if you're older, it might be better to buy from scratch because the tiny house movement is sort of geared towards young people. Often the beds are lofted, and there's things that just don't quite work for somebody who wants to retire there and maybe wants to age in place. So you'd probably need to custom build one. By the way, that's still not that expensive. You'd need to custom build one because you probably don't want to be climbing up a ladder onto your lofted bed at the age of 66. That's just probably not on topping your list of things to do.
Fair enough. We're speaking with MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill about her piece about tiny houses and why you might want to retire to one by choice. You know what I was thinking, though, too, what about the grandkids? Like, if you have a tiny house, it's not necessarily a place where
they're not staying with you if they visit.
That, yeah.
Not happening, right. I mean, that's a consideration. You can't have guests usually. And, you know, for some people, they love all the stuff that they've gathered over the many, many years of life. You know, they love the boxes of their kids' stuff. A lot of people just want to get rid of them, but some people, you know, really like keeping that stuff. Or, you know, this one woman I spoke to, she said, I really wish I had room for my mom's china cabinet. Her mom had just died, and she's about to retire in her tiny house, but she doesn't, and it's just in storage. So, you know, you really have to live very minimally in these things.
Yeah. All right, so the biggest reason people are giving, what? Is it all about cost?
Money, yeah. I mean, one guy told me it can cut your living cost by 70%, sometimes even more. Because, look, I mean, if the median house is about $200,000 in the U.S., these tiny houses, you can get them for, you know, 70 grand less even.
Thanks, Katie. MarketWatch reporter Katie Hill. Well, it's been 1 year since the opening of relations between the United States and Cuba. Yahoo is out with a series focusing on the island nation. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman says the restoration of diplomatic ties between Washington and Havana has generated modest excitement about new economic opportunities, but for Cubans and foreigners, the country desperately needs to be modernized. Something to consider if you're an entrepreneur looking for opportunities in Cuba. Rick set this up.
Well, we're at the one-year anniversary of liberalized U.S. relations with Cuba. So companies are real interested in getting in there, but I'm finding that, you know, so I start talking to people who've been there, companies that have tried to get in there, and this is going to happen very slowly if it happens at all. This is not like China, which outwardly embraced capitalism, or at least certain capitalist principles, as part of a sort of hybrid capitalist-communist system. This is still a communist country dominated by cronyism. It's got a huge state sector. Nobody seems willing to give up that government control. And I think companies that want to get involved in Cuba are finding that it's really hard to do business there, and it doesn't seem likely that's going to end anytime soon.
Wow. All right, so speaking of government control, explain the internet there.
such as it is, if you can even call it the internet. Yeah. There is internet service in Cuba, but only about 5% of the population has access to broadband internet. And it wouldn't be that hard to wire the whole country. It's not that big for good internet service. Google has offered to do that for a relatively low cost, almost free. Turns out the Cuban government is resisting that. For one thing, it's easier to monitor people and conduct surveillance, at least they think so, over dial-up lines rather than over internet lines or broadband internet lines. And they're just not willing to give up that control. And in fact, it looks as if the big Chinese telecommunications company called Huawei, it's kind of like the AT&T of China, is going to be the company that helps Cuba modernize its communications infrastructure. And you can bet that part of that is going to be the ability to conduct surveillance, yeah. Monitor information, block certain types of information. And that is just not conducive to a healthy business climate, obviously.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman about Cuba. He's got a piece talking about how the economy may still be trapped in the Stone Age. Are entrepreneurs at this point wasting their time, or might they consider this a long-term investment if they were to try to get in?
There definitely are some opportunities for entrepreneurs who are able to figure out the niches where the Cuban government is allowing them to operate. And there are some fun stories about people who are finding ways to make money in Cuba. For example, one service that's become popular are these like flash drives that people who run this will get a weekly download of TV shows and movies and magazines. A lot of it is American stuff. They'll bring that to Cuba. You can travel freely to Cuba now, so it's easy to get this stuff in. And they sell these flash drives to people. Again, this is not internet access, but it's the sort of entertainment you might get over the internet. They're just delivering it a different way. And this is almost like a subscription service. You sign up, and every week you get one of these flash drives delivered to you with entertainment and stuff on it, a lot of Western entertainment. Other things like that, more people are allowed to open restaurants and very small shops. But no one really knows what the rules are. So the government at any moment could say, oh, by the way, we've been letting you get away with this, but it's illegal. There have been incidents in the past where they have closed restaurants because they've accused the people running the restaurants of hoarding food. So if you buy food supplies to just as inventory for your restaurant, that can be considered hoarding, and you can get closed down by the government. So there really are no rules of the road, and the entrepreneurs, I think, who have been successful in Cuba are largely finding these little niches, which may not even be legal.
How about that? Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. Coming up next, the new take on a green Christmas.
While most video surveillance solutions capture and store hours of nothing, CudaEye by Barracuda Networks only captures video when something happens. Once captured on camera, the video evidence is immediately encrypted and sent to the cloud for safe storage and easy retrieval from any web browser or mobile device. With CudaEye, there's no network configuration or software to install. Just plug one or more cameras into your network to better protect your business. Don't get caught with nothing. Do something about it. Check out CudaEye.com. That's CudaEye.com.
Well, a rotting pile of thrown-out trees has inspired a new type of green Christmas. NBC News has a story about two German entrepreneurs who agreed that the discarded relics of Christmas past were a waste after spotting dumped trees one holiday season. So last year, they launched a firm called Happy Tree, which rents out four different sizes of sustainable firs in pots. The firm started with 400 trees to rent in the western German cities of Cologne and Dusseldorf. This holiday season, it's expanded to 12 cities and some 3,000 trees. NBC says the trees are grown at a farm in the Netherlands and take the shortest route to the customer in order to minimize carbon dioxide emissions during transport. A week before Christmas, the company had run out of the smallest size of trees available to rent. They cost around $70, including delivery and pickup at the customer's doorstep, and even come with an operating manual. Happy Tree, by the way, said that around three-quarters of its Nordman firs survived the holiday experience last year. Remember, by the way, you can get more small business reports on our website, which is thismorningwithgordondeal.com. And we encourage you to leave feedback on whatever podcast platform that you use, like iTunes or SoundCloud. Reviews can help us determine what works and what does not. Also, if you'd like to share thoughts or ideas about your small business, shoot me an email, gdeal@compassmedianetworks.com. thesmallbusinessreport.com. Thanks for listening to the Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal.